John 14, verses 15 through 21, these are God's words. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you, and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you will live also. At that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. So verse 15, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. This is the second instruction he has given them that is related to the fact that he has loved them very much, but that he is departing to ascend to the right hand of the Father. If you love Jesus, one of the things that you will want to know with all your heart is, how can I love Jesus? If you see how he has loved you, and you love him because he has loved you, and what has he done for you out of love? What did Jesus do for you, Ezekiel? What did Jesus do for you, Ezekiel?
Love.
Love.
What did he do for you?
He died on the cross for the forgiveness of sins.
That's right. And so if you know that he loves you and he gave himself for you, and you love him, then one of the big questions that you have is, how can I love him? Chapter 13, he gave us one answer: love one another as I have loved you. That's one of the things that makes it so grievous and sad when we attack one another, whether in our home or whether people in the church attack one another. It's because loving one another is our response to how he has loved us. Love one another as I have loved you, he says. But here in chapter 14 and verse 15, he gives us another way of answer, another answer to our big question, how can I love Jesus? How can I show my love to Jesus? He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's what Christian commandment keeping is all about. It is not about trying to make ourselves feel better about ourselves or make God feel better about us. We do want to please him. And Christian commandment keeping is an expression of love to him, especially an expression of love to Christ. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, we're happy that we have an answer, but we could be discouraged because it's a difficult answer. Who can keep the commandments of God? We have a hard time even keeping them outwardly, and then we remember that Jesus taught that we're to keep them even with our heart. We're to delight to do what he says. And we're not even in our thoughts to be bent even a little bit towards breaking his commandments. Therefore, keeping his commandments is a very difficult task. And that's why Jesus immediately adds, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. So long as Jesus is with the disciples, they could always see his love for them, and that would stir up their love back to him. If they were doing something wrong, then Jesus could be right there to correct them or rebuke them. If they had a question about what was right, they could ask him. He would tell them. He was called alongside them for whatever they might need, and especially for whatever they might need for obeying the commandments of God. Now he's just told them, if you love me, keep my commandments, but there's a problem. Their helper, whom God had sent from heaven, his only begotten son, his beloved son, with whom he is well pleased, the helper whom the Father had sent, is returning to heaven. Jesus says, don't worry. If you love me, keep my commandments. And yes, I will pray the Father, and he will send you another helper. He will give you another helper, that he may abide with you, that he may dwell with you forever. Jesus came and called the disciples to himself, and they spent 3 years going around with Jesus and having him with them, called along their side. That's what paraclete, the word that's translated helper, means, one who is called alongside. They spent 3 years with Jesus called alongside them, but now Jesus is leaving. Jesus says that when he sends the Holy Spirit will never, ever, ever leave a believer. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit with you, and you have this Holy Spirit in you, and he does for you all those things that we were just thinking about, the Lord Jesus having done for the disciples. He's with us to remind us of God's love for us. He brings to mind Jesus' sacrifice. He brings to mind the Father's love in which he gave the Son and in which he gave the Spirit. He's the one, the Scripture tells us, who makes our heart to call God our Father, to cry out to God, Abba, Baba, Baba. It's a Egyptian and Jewish children call their daddy. You guys say Papa, which is pretty close, right? Well, Cassidy says Papa. The rest of you usually say Daddy. The Holy Spirit is the one who teaches us reminds us and trains our hearts and mouths to call upon God in that way. He's the one who reminds us of God's love for us. He's the one who corrects us and rebukes us when we stray out of the path and we're doing something wrong. He brings to mind some text of Scripture, some truth from Scripture, and he corrects us and rebukes us. We have a question, and we come, and we know where to find his words in the Bible, and we can ask him for help, for understanding. And he actually, as he helps us understand, the effects, I think, are even better for us than even when Jesus was with the disciples. Because we have Jesus explaining things to the disciples, and they still don't have a clue. We've had a lot of that just in this chapter. And the last chapter, well, really, throughout the Gospels, but the last couple of chapters have been very full of that. The Holy Spirit is with us forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Why can the world not receive him? Verse 17 goes on to say, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you. That's present tense. Jesus hadn't ascended to the Father yet. Jesus hadn't prayed to the Father yet. Jesus hadn't poured out, and the Father hadn't given through the Son the helper, the parakletos, the paraclete, yet. So, how is it that he dwells with them already? You remember when earlier in the chapter, Philip said, show us the Father, and it is enough? How did Jesus answer? Have I been with you so long, Philip, and still you do not know me? He who has seen me has seen the Father. And we say, how is it that they already know the Spirit who dwells with them? Show them the Spirit, Jesus, and that is sufficient. Yeah. Have he been with them so long that we still do not know him? You see the doctrine of the Trinity here? The one whom the Lord Jesus will send, they already know, because so long as they have Jesus with them, they have the Spirit with them and the Father with them. There is no more of the Holy Spirit to see than is in Jesus. And they're the same as goes in the other direction. If they have the Spirit, they have Christ. Okay, so he says he dwells with you and he will be in you. Okay, so Jesus ascends to the Father, he pours out the Spirit, and now the Spirit is not just with them, but the way that he is with them is by being in them. He dwells in us. And since Christ and the Spirit are one, that is how the church, the people of Christ, become the temple of Christ. He dwells in us by his Spirit. So he says, verse 18, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. For a little while, the longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. So when he says, I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you, he's not talking about the second coming when he returns from heaven. He's talking about a time when the world cannot see him. He's talking about his coming to us in the person of the Spirit this time. And he says he will come to us. And when he comes to us, we will see him. That is, we will know that the Spirit who dwells in us is the Spirit of Christ. And that will convince us of two doctrines. Okay? Oh, I forgot to explain the end of verse 19. Because I live, you will live also. When the Holy Spirit lives in us and we know that he is the Spirit of Christ and we know that anything good in us is coming from Jesus by his Holy Spirit, we realize that Jesus is all our life. We confess that wonderful verse in Galatians 3:20, which we often quote, I'm crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So we know that our life is only from Christ. And when we have the Spirit with us, and the Spirit enables us to see that he is the Spirit of Christ, and therefore that as he gives us life, it is the life of Christ that is our life. You will see me because I live, you will live also. At that point, we are convinced of two doctrines. The first is the unity of the Godhead, the doctrine of the Trinity. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father. So the Spirit comes and dwells in us, and we realize that the Holy Spirit is one with Jesus, that Jesus is one with the Father, that the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are one. A Christian is someone who is convinced of the doctrine of the Trinity. If someone does not believe that Jesus is in the Father and that the Spirit and the Father and the Son are all one, they are not a Christian. Because there is only one Christ who can make you a Christian. And that one Christ is the Son of God, who is one forever and ever with the Father and with the Spirit. Second doctrine that Christians are convinced of is that all of their life and righteousness and salvation is in Jesus. So not just the doctrine of the Trinity, at that day you will know that I am in my Father, but also the doctrine of union with Christ. If you want to find the page, but don't play with your Bible, please. But also the doctrine of union with Christ, that I am my Father, and you in me, and I in you. That's how we are saved, my dear children, by being in Christ and having Christ in us. By being in Christ for our justification, being made right with God and forgiven, and Christ in us for our life, our sanctification, our glorification, our being made holy, being made fit for heaven, he is our life. So a Christian is someone who is convinced of the doctrine of the Trinity and who is convinced of the doctrine of union with Christ, that he is all our righteousness, our life, our goodness, our everything. And he concludes then, having come all the way back around to what he started with in verse 15, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. Okay, so he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. He's answered the big question. How can I love him? By keeping his commandments. And that keeping of his commandments only comes by union with him, as given to us by his Holy Spirit. And if we have union with him, we have union with him and the Spirit and with the Father. And so he says, he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest and show myself to him. The Lord Jesus wants you to know him. He wants you to know him. He wants you to know him. He wants you to know him. That's what his Spirit has come to do. Not to enable us to do weird magic tricks or act like drunk people in worship, but to make us know Christ, God the Son from all eternity, who gave himself for us. The Holy Spirit has come to show us his love, to remind us that he and Christ are one, so that Christ hasn't left us alone, but he's with us and he's in us by his Spirit. The Holy Spirit has come to show us the love of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and to enable us to keep his commandments. Let's pray. O Lord, make us a people of your Holy Spirit, not in the way that those who have introduced a worldly way of thinking about your Spirit into your church have done. Make us a people of your Spirit as you, our Lord Jesus, describe him, the one who is with us and in us, and our helper as you were a helper to the disciples, the one in whom we have you and in whom we have the Father. How we know the love of the Father to us, how we know your love to us, the one who helps us love you because you first loved us, the one who enables us to keep your commandments, the one who gives us these continual glimpses of you by faith, not with eyes of flesh, but with the eyes of our heart, to behold you and live with you and live for you. How we thank you not just for this portion of your word and the truth that we may understand from it to better understand our life with you, but how we thank you for the reality that you describe in this word of our life of fellowship with you by your Spirit. Grant to us to grow in our experience of that reality, I pray. In your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.